Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, the cast and crew of the Yellow Springs Kids Playhouse Gaston Boudreau. The production is running this weekend and next. We'll meet some of those cast members. Also, Nikki Dakota's in to talk about WISO's open house. It's this afternoon. You can get all the information at WISO.org. Later in the program, Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac. Up first, this week on Politics Ohio, Emily McCord was joined by Ian James from the organization Freedom to Marry. James says their group is working to put an issue on the ballot to overturn Ohio's ban on same-sex marriage. He says this week's announcement by prominent Ohio Republican Jim Petro underscores momentum towards support for the cause. James says the group needs Republicans to win the issue in Ohio, and the best way to do that is to bring on Republicans like Petro in leadership roles to convince voters.
The Defense of Marriage Act was struck down last month by the Supreme Court, leaving it up to states to decide how to proceed on the matter. Ohio currently has a ban on same-sex marriage, and there are those who are trying to change that. I'm joined today by Ian James with a group called Freedom to Marry. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're working to overturn the ban on same-sex marriage here in Ohio. What actually needs to happen to see that come to fruition?
Well, we've got to get the issue on the ballot. We will do that by collecting 385,245 ballot signatures and have representation from half of the counties. And once we get it on the ballot, then we have to run a campaign. And the campaign is such that we are explaining why marriage matters. We're talking about families. We're talking about what the message is about marriage. And ultimately, it comes down to marriage is the best way for a couple to best care for and protect themselves and their families, especially in a time of crisis. You know, if you have, as I have, my husband and I were married July 3rd of 2004 in Canada. We left the country we love because we loved each other and we wanted to be married. We got back and we saw that our friends, family, neighbors all recognize our marriage, but our country and our state would not. We have a Supreme Court ruling that says if your state allows for marriage equality, you can have marriage equality. If it does not, you cannot. So we will have a campaign, a very robust campaign, from the folks that we have already identified, the hundreds of thousands of people who support marriage equality, and continue that dialogue and identification of support over the next 17 months, 16 months, until November 2014, where voters will vote on this issue.
The current ban on gay marriage was something that was approved by Ohio voters by 62% in 2004. How much has changed since then?
It's an incredible seismic shift in public opinion. I think anybody that picks up the paper today or listens to the radio or turns on the news or TV in general sees that society has really evolved. In March of this year, there was a statewide poll in which 54% of Ohioans indicated their support for the amendment. It was 40% opposed. Previous to that, there was the Washington Post poll in which 52% of Ohio voters supported marriage equality. 37% were opposed. Those were both pre-Senator Portman announcement, certainly pre-Jim Petro, former Attorney General, Auditor, and Chancellor of the State of Ohio Republican, coming on board the campaign in a leadership role. So, you know, we're seeing lots and lots of movement out there. And of course, it's also pre-Supreme Court ruling, right? I mean, so the momentum is definitely with us. We anticipate we'll be in the mid to upper 50s, you know, at the end of the year and certainly higher next year.
2014, it'll be a gubernatorial election. Mm-hmm. How do you think that'll affect your campaign?
Well, we're not putting the issue on the ballot to help or hurt any party or candidate, but it will actually end up helping the issue because there'll be more people voting. Younger voters, by and large, are 3-to-1 supportive, so there's a big goal to get younger voters out to vote. A growing number of Republicans are on board, and also the momentum is just with us.
You mentioned Jim Petro, prominent Ohio Republican who just came out in support of same-sex marriage. What impact do you think that has on the minds of voters? Does it convince people that are otherwise unconvinced?
Jim Petro's endorsement and his leadership in the campaign, you know, when asked during the press conference on Monday, he indicated that he was not only going to be supportive, he was going to take a leadership role. Jim's going to be able to help with Republicans for Freedom to Marry and taking on that role and building a broader base, it's going to be critically important to have him on board. Look, you can't win Ohio as a battleground state without winning Republicans. We've got strong majority of Democrats, strong majority of independents. We need more Republicans to be supportive. You make that case to Republicans with Republicans, and you make the case about freedom and individual freedom, freedom of religion, and freedom from government with Republicans. It's a winning combination with Jim Pietro.
In a larger context, how important is the state of Ohio when it comes to the rights of same-sex couples?
Well, the reality is I think that there's the old saying of, as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. I think this is a very important issue nationally, because as we start to have the conversation in Ohio and marriage equality wins in Ohio, then you start to see the winds of change blow more frequently and stronger in other parts of the country and other states. Ultimately, you know, it's inevitable. Marriage equality is inevitable. Ohio is going to help it across the nation.
I've been speaking with Ian James with the group Freedom to Marry. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
But don't you remember who you're talking to? I'm the last of the Red Hot Poppers. I'm the last of the Red Hot Poppers. I'm the fattest peach in the state. I'm the king of all the winners. The one that loses love to hate.
You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks for joining us. This week, the Yellow Springs Kids Playhouse presents Gaston Boudreau, The Cajun Robin Hood. It was written by Louis Smith, directed by John Fleming, and it features music written and composed by Tucky Bailey. Forty-five kids make up the performers and stagehands in this production. We'll meet some of them in just a moment. First, meet YSKP founder and director John Fleming.
What you just heard was the character Governor Earl Couscous LaRoche singing the song The Last of the Red Hot Poppers. And not so much the song, but his longer speeches were actually verbatim from a real governor of Louisiana named Earl K. Long. And a very enterprising reporter from the Baton Rouge Morning Advocate used to call Governor Long on Sunday nights in his office. They had some sort of rendezvous time set up and would tape the governor, who would just go off on these tangents. And he would, so we put them into the show. This show transposes the classic story of Robin Hood to the bayous in southwest Louisiana. It was first done in 2002, and it tells the Robin Hood tale that everyone knows, except Little John is Petit John, and Maid Marian is based on an actual queen of voodoo, Marie Laveau, and the governor, of course, is based on the real governor. And we brought it back because this show, originally done in 2002, was before Hurricane Katrina and the BP oil spill. So we found that the environmental issues that were in this show, unfortunately, are more important now. This is also the 100th anniversary of the Dayton flood, the centennial of the Dayton flood. And so I wrote Arthur Morgan into the show. It's an interesting tie-in because his flood plan for Dayton is based on 9,000 acres of floodplains and 55 miles of levees. And his bitter enemy in his career was the Army Corps of Engineers. And we know now that the city of New Orleans was convinced by the Army Corps of Engineers in the 1950s to get rid of floodplains and to just depend on the levees. And, of course, the hurricane didn't affect New Orleans. It was, as you know, in Spike Lee's movie, it's called When the Levees Broke. So Arthur Morgan was a visionary, and unfortunately his vision was not adapted. We did something different this year. Because the show takes place in the swamps, we started something we call the Oyster Special, and little kids at the age of 5 can be oysters. And they sing a couple of songs in the first act, so they come in and we get them home by their bedtime.
I was going to ask if there are particular challenges with this year's production outside of the normal. Would that be one of them, the oysters?
Yeah, that's one of them. And I think the most particular challenge for everyone is that there's a lot of French words in the show. There's a lot of Louisiana phrases, like fe dodo is one. And so it's almost like learning a different language.
Obviously, a fun production for the kids?
Yeah, I think so. It's a very funny script, and the characters are very well drawn and I think fun to play.
Oh, so let's talk with some of the characters.
Hi, I'm Wyndham Meisher. I play the governor.
Tell me a little bit about that main song and context and how you relate to that character.
Well, that song, Last of the Red Hot Papas, my men, the sheriff, Abusi, and my two henchmen, are a little down at the moment because they got a threatening letter from someone who they thought had been dead for nearly 100 years. So I'm all confident in hoodah, so I tell them, no one's going to get me, and then I start singing that song, and we go to this big fundraiser, and that character, he's a crook. He's a very corrupt person. He's trying to do this hot lunch program, which is why the more gravy line comes up. And with that, he also is in with oil companies. So if he does his hot lunch program, oil companies get to put derricks and refineries on the land that Bootsy and Sheriff take. And not a lot of people are very happy with me, even though I think I'm doing something great. I think I'm the good guy in my character, but other people know that I'm not.
So is there a... any redemption for your character?
I get shoved into a giant pot of gumbo.
An interesting end.
Yeah. It's tasty.
Hi, I'm Nia Stewart. I play Clyde LeBlanc, or the Sheriff of Nottingham. And I learned a lot about French language because I knew like nothing but like bonjour, croissant. So I learned a lot about the French language and how Cajuns don't exactly speak in French dialect. It's more their own twist on it. And I've learned a lot about derricks. I didn't even know what a derrick was, actually, to start with. And so I actually had to go and look that up because I didn't want to say... I have this entire speech about derricks, so I didn't want to go and say my speech and not know what I was talking about.
How many years have you been with YSKP?
I think this is my 9th show. I've been with it since I was like 6 or 7. My first was Sense and Sensibilities.
Is singing and acting something you would want to go into in the future?
No.
What are you going to do?
Education or something, but I do love singing and acting. Well, for the rest of my life, I would like to continue being in shows, and I love YSKP, but I don't want to be an actress as a living, so...
I'm Lorianne Chavez, and I play Bootsy, who is the game warden of Sherwood Swamp.
Bootsy's full name is Bootsy Pet Lajoie. And Pet is French for farting, and Lajoie is joyfully. So his name is Bootsy Farting with Joy. And that's a phrase that, you know, it was our pleasure to teach the kids in the French dialect.
See, I didn't know that.
Does that make you feel any different about your part now?
Nope.
So tell me a little bit about your character.
My character is pretty much like one of the bad guys, and Bootsy and the sheriff answer to the governor, and they are all trying to take over land to put derricks in to dig for oil so that the governor can get rich.
What are you learning out of this process of learning your lines and the songs and the content of the play?
Well, like, within the actual, like, theme of the play, I'm learning a lot about how they actually dig for oil and how it actually affects the water. Because, I mean, obviously I already knew that it affected the water, but this kind of makes it more into detail about it.
And how do you like working with these other kids?
I like it a lot because I knew a lot of them before, and some of them I don't really talk to outside of YSKP because of age difference or different schools or something. So it's nice to, because every summer we kind of come back and reconnect, so it's nice to do that.
Hi, I'm Will Mippo, and my character I play as Bobo. And Bobo is a very clueless character. He kind of goes along with like what kind of the sheriff and Bootsy say, almost everything what they ask he does for him. But, yeah, he's very clueless.
You have a lot of lines to learn?
Not a lot, but, I mean, a decent amount.
And the singing and dancing, do you take to that easily?
I'd take it pretty easy. I mean, like, the blocking and the singing isn't the hardest part about the character, probably.
How many years have you been with YSKP?
This is my second production with YSKP. Last year we did Moe's Night at the Opera. I was an art lover.
What is being involved in a production like this teaching you anything?
Yeah, it's teaching me social skills and to adapt to like different people. It's different people that I'm used to hanging around with, so.
I'm Zoe Williams, and the character I play is Hog, one of the sheriff's henchmen. And I'm kind of like Bobo. I just, like, do whatever they tell me to do. And I just kind of follow them around, and I help, like, steal money from people.
Has it been difficult to learn your part, all the singing and dancing and your lines?
It's been really difficult for me because this is a big part for me and I've not had a lot of experience, but I do have help from my older sister who has done lots of plays for YSKP and other shows. And so I think she's like, I look up to her and she encourages me and she helps me with my lines and the singing and stuff.
And how old are you?
I'm turning 11 in August.
My name is Anna Belowski, and I play Frere Touche in Paw Ran. Paw Ran is Gaston Boudreau's Robin Hood's godfather. And I get to do a lot of fun scenes with my wife, Gaston, and my other son, Pierre. And with Frere Touche, I'm kind of a healer that can't really help in the scene I'm in. And so Frere Touche is just laid back, relaxed.
And are you similar to that?
Sometimes.
And this is your first experience with YSKP. How is it?
I've had a lot of fun.
Are you nervous about the show coming up?
Not really. I've been in like 9 other productions.
Gaston Boudreau, the Cajun Robin Hood, features music written and composed by Tucky Bailey. I asked her about some of the challenges of writing music for this production.
The challenges composing the music is because we have different playwrights. And some of them write the words with more rhythm, and some of them don't have any rhythm at all. So it's harder to put that to music. That's the biggest challenge. And then the kids' range. You know, what key to put it in. And, you know, because I'm not familiar with their voices, especially this year, because I don't know anybody.
Bailey says the key to getting the music right is getting that Zydeco sound.
I've got this pit band, and it's got acoustic bass. The trap drummer's playing washboard, so it's more Zydeco. And we got an accordion. And then I'm going to play keyboards. And this young girl from the high school is going to play sax and flute. I'm just writing parts in for that. And, you know, it sounds really good.
It's wet all over, and you don't want to be dry. It's wet all over, and you don't want to be dry.
There are additional challenges for Era Beale, one of the co-directors of Gaston Boudreau.
Era, I saw some of your challenges outside.
Yeah, so for this production, I'm working mostly with our oysters, which range in age from 6 to 8, and our crawfish, which are 8 to 10. So it's a very different ball of wax than dealing with the 15-year-olds. And we do a lot of very basic, you know, which way is stage right, which way is stage left, where do you look when you're on stage, being able to focus and sort of pay attention. You saw some of that earlier. And but they're also, I love that age because they have no problem doing something completely wild and crazy. They haven't started to be self-conscious quite as much yet as some of the older kids. So you can say, make a really strange sound and jump up and down, and they just do it. That's always a nice thing to have to work with and not have to quite draw things out of them as much as some of the older kids who are a little more conscious about what they're doing.
Tell me a little bit about the function that the Oysters are playing in this production, the function they serve.
One of the things that goes back to the very first YSKP production, no, maybe the second, is having a chorus of animals played by our younger kids. And it's a way for them to get introduced to the program and introduced to theater and start to develop those skills without necessarily having the same responsibilities and challenges of being a defined character with complicated lines. It's more of like a chorus role, much like you see on Broadway where you have chorus members. So they get it sort of introduced and brought in. So there's that sort of educational side of sort of the Oysters and the Crawfish. But I think in terms of the show, they do a really nice job of sort of setting the scene and setting the tone. I mean, the show, I like to joke that the show is actually an ad for, a tourist ad for Louisiana, that everybody should go to Louisiana because it's great. But they, you know, there's a lot of the show is about food and about eating, but also about the environment. And so as Crawfish and Oysters, these are in both sides, right? They're in the food that's part of the culture, but they're also, because they're the smallest of the creatures, they're the first to start to show signs of stress when the ecosystem is having problems. So they work on both levels. They work on the part of the culture, and they work on the environmental side, that if we don't take care of our planet, that these small creatures, which have no one to look out for them besides perhaps us, are going to cease to be. And they're really cute, so we don't want that to happen.
In Louisiana, you're alive. I have to remember this.
It floods on your soul, brings tears up to your eyes, keeps you getting old. And your heart is the hair and the flies. You're in Louisiana and you're alive.
Some of the cast and crew from the Yellow Springs Kids Playhouse production of Gaston Boudreau, the Cajun Robin Hood, running this weekend and next. You can get more information at yskp.org. And joining me now in the WISO studios, our very own Nikki Dakota. Nikki, some of the cast from this production will be in our studios later today for our open house.
They absolutely will. We're going to have Adam Phil Case playing live. The Repeating Arms will be on the air. And just going to be a true celebration. It's the WISO open house this afternoon from 1 until 6 p.m. We're saying bring the family, bring your friends, bring everyone. It's an indoor-outdoor party. It'll be an opportunity to see the studios, but we also have a party on the lawn. There's food. Food trucks, ice cream. We've got an amazing man who's going to do rope tricks. There'll be face painting, juggling, instrument petting zoo. Thanks to Crazy Joe and Shake and Dave and Recreate Music Store, downtown Dayton, we'll have a lot of instruments for everyone to come and play. If you've always wanted to play a dobro or ukulele or stand-up bass, we're going to have those for
you. That's a really great idea.
I like it.
So along with the tours, we may ask one or two of our listeners to record a testimonial for us.
Yes, please. We will have many members of our Community Voices graduates on hand, as well as some of our people that are helping us with our local Low Reinvention. We'll be in the studios. If you'd like to come in, record a testimonial, talk about when you first heard YSO, why you listened to YSO, or when was that first day that you realized YSO was your station, we'd love to record your voice.
Well, it's an event that actually just gets better and better each year. We want all of our friends and families to come out and say hello to the staff and volunteers here at YSO. Again, it's from 1 to 6 p.m. today.
By the way, although it's going on that whole big span of time, from 2 until 4 this afternoon, we will be broadcasting live. So the live broadcast part starts at 2 o'clock. In addition to our great live musical artists, we're going to be snipping out. We have been in a long, years-long process since 2009 of digitizing our analog reel-to-reel tape archives, and we're beginning to get some of of that back. We're going to be hearing a little snippet from way back when with the Buckeye Barn Dance. I've got some vintage Corn Drinkers as well as Fiddlin' Van Kidwell. Really cool remembrances about the Xenia Tornado in 1974. Mike Seeger and Alice Gerard, who played live right here on the Antioch College campus, and so much more, and more to come on that. We're hoping by next year that actually much, if not all of this, will be online, available for everyone to hear.
All right, Nikki Dakota, we'll see you later this afternoon, and we hope to see all our listeners there as well.
Thanks, Jerry.
This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac for the third week of middle summer. Escaping the noon sun, I enter the cool woods, and here everything is dark and subdued. It is the third week of middle summer, a quiet space between the forest's seasons. Most of the late spring and early summer flowers gone, and none of the late summer flowers blooming. May apples have toppled over, their foliage dappled with yellow. Leaf cup plants have been eaten off by deer. Soft, wet moss on a fallen tree glows in the twilight beneath the canopy. A few late enchanter's nightshade plants still have tiny blossoms, but early summer's honewort is gone. Pollen has disappeared from the clustered snakeroot. Some spice bushes and privets have green berries now. Touch-me-nots are tall, but not yet budded. The wood nettle is still not ready to flower. Light cobwebs, not the stickier ones of the late summer microcenas, sometimes lie across my way. A few inches above last year's layer of leaves, the foliage of spring's ginger and waterleaf and bloodroot lingers as a low intermittent covering, replacing the chickweed that dominated the forest floor in April. A lone daisy fleabane and one wilted ragwort have blossoms near a spring that crosses the path. The shy stalks of August's ironweed and zigzag goldenrod and white snakeroot and the small flowered asters blend into the honeysuckles, their timing tuned by heat and the amount of sunlight to hold off until late summer. A few damselflies hover near the grizzled skunk cabbage. Cardinals call in the distance. Robins sing to guide their young. This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac. I'll be back again next week with notes for the fourth week of middle summer. In the meantime, walk in the quiet space between seasons. Watch and listen.
Bill Felker contributes to newspapers nationwide, including the Yellow Springs News. Bill resides in Yellow Springs. Poor Will's Almanac is also available as a podcast at WYSO.org.
That's it for this edition of WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WYSO.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. Coming up next, the Book Nook.
Later today on This American Life, it is our 500th episode, and we are commemorating that by playing you the very best moments, and by that I mean the staff's favorite moments of the last 17 years.
As it unfolds, you just realize, like, no, 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 no.
When I heard that, I was like, well, that's one articulate bank robber.
And there's a point where he just realizes, like, oh, she loves me.
The very best moments of our show ever, later today.
This afternoon at 4, where else but why so?
WYSO's open house is today. Please make plans to join us this afternoon. Festivities start at 1 with a gala live broadcast from 2 to 4 featuring live local bands and historic sounds from 55 years of the WYSO archives. Bring your whole family and your neighbors too. There's so much to do. Food carts, hula hoops, rope tricks, face painting, juggling, so much more. Directions and full details are at WYSO.org. Come out and celebrate 55 years with WYSO.